Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and Revolution Radio. Be sure to go to the website, get into the chat room, talk with everybody else that's in there. They always have some pretty good conversations going. And as always, if you have some change burning a hole in your pocket, click the donation button up at the top of the page and send it our way. We need all the help we can get to keep us on the air, because we are 100% listener supported. And as always, mainstream media is not telling you the truth. Whether it's the truth, whether they're lying by omission, or whether they're just flat out lying to you straight up, they're not telling you the truth. They never will. And some of the ridiculous propaganda that I was watching this week, which was just beyond the pale at this point, just keeps proving my point every single week. This is why I say it. It's not that anybody needs to be reminded. It's just that it's fun to say it, because it hopefully it'll get under their skin and piss them off really good, like they do the rest of us. But one of the first stories I want to get into tonight, because we got a few. I got Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center. I got a good clip from him. I got this ridiculous town hall that Fauci and Biden did, and a whole bunch of other bits and pieces of the COVID nonsense that they're still trying to push as the real deal. And everybody at this point has come to the realization that this has been a complete hoax. every single bit of it from day one. But the first thing I want to start off with, because I talked about this morning on the health show when I sat in for Wendy, and this is something that should just, if it doesn't make you angry, I don't know what will. And of course, it has to do with one of the stupidest people in Congress ever elected to a congressional seat. God knows how she got there. And what's worse is she got reelected, and that says a lot about the people in her district. I mean, I used to think AOC was kind of entertaining with the stupid things that she would always say. I mean, at the very least, it was a little bit on the entertaining side, so you could actually make fun of her and you know, get a good chuckle out of it for the day. But what she just said this time was absolutely stupid. First things first. Of course, she's complaining about January 6th and the riots and the insurrection that happened and so on and so on, after we all saw the videos of the Capitol Police letting the people into the building and so on. But number one, AOC wasn't even there. Okay, this is what makes this even worse. She wasn't even in the Capitol building. Okay, she was down the street in another building. She wasn't anywhere near what was going on. She was about a mile or so away. But suddenly, she has to undergo therapy because she's having PTSD. Because she calls the whole protest an all-out attempted coup, and it got into her head and she suffered trauma from it. And she actually had the balls to say this. There's some bigger balls than some of the men in Congress. When she did an interview with Latino USA last week, she claimed that the lawmakers at the Capitol essentially served in war, which led her to take some time to recognize trauma. Number one, AOC, F you. I'd say it out loud, but we've got to keep our language somewhat abated here on the show, just out of decorum, but F you, AOC. You did not serve in war. Neither did any of the other people in Congress, unless they were actually in the military and served during wartime. She doesn't have trauma. She's an idiot. She's one of these spoil-ass millennials sitting around thinking, you know, finding up new ways every single day to be offended by everything, and thinks that $174,000 a year isn't enough to live on. F you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She went on to say in this interview, said, after the six, I took some time, and it was really Ayanna Pressley. When I explained to her what happened to me, like the day of, because I ran to her office, and she was like, you need to recognize the trauma. Oh, my God, I swear to God, her head's going to damn explode. I wish it would, for real. And I feel like I learned this the hard way after my father had passed away when I was a teenager, and happened at a young age. I locked it away. You have to live it for years. Oh, yeah, I'm doing therapy, but I've also slowed down. I think the Trump administration had a lot of us, especially the Latino communities, in a very reactive mode. Shut up. Shut the hell up, AOC. You used to be entertaining. Now you're just pissing people off. You just slapped the face of every veteran and military person in the country, saying you think that they served in war because you cowered like a bunch of pussies behind the wall. And actually, one of the Capitol Guards, Secret Service guys, popped one of this Air Force veteran. Nothing got damaged. Nobody was some windows got broken and all of that. But when people got into the building, they were walking behind velvet ropes and maybe banging on some doors. But the amount of damage that could have been done, nothing. It was really a very minor incident. The Capitol cops were taking selfies with these people. They were politely asking them to leave the Senate chambers. My congressman, he pushed out too. Even a guy who served in the Marine Corps, I had to cower in my office because we didn't know what was going to happen. It's like, shut up. I'm tired of all these political class people acting like they just went through like a minefield when all they did was pick daisies. And this, again, what she just said, we all essentially served in war. You did not. You absolutely did not, you stupid mother effing moron. Don't ever spit on the guys who did in this country like that again. You have no idea what it's like to serve in war. You have no idea what it's like to serve in combat. You have no idea what happens to these guys when they come back. I've met them. I've talked to them at the VA. The guys who come back with real PTSD. You know, the guys who wake up in the middle of the night and they're trying to get, therapy through the VA, which a lot of them, what they've told me, isn't very good. These are the guys who wake up in the middle of the night. You can't remember a damn thing. And then when they get up in the morning, you know, their entire inside of their house is destroyed because they went on an absolute rampage and they can't figure out what the hell's going on. Guys who've gotten their arms and legs blown off, guys with massive head trauma, guys who've been basically burned to a crisp from IEDs and rocket attacks and all that other stuff. And AOC's out there saying, we served in war. You did not do any such goddamn thing. Shut the hell up. Just shut up. I can't even say that enough times. Shut the hell up. If anything, somebody needs to slap you upside the head and knock some sense into you. I absolutely cannot stand this person, and shame on people in New York for putting this moron back into Congress. Absolutely disgusted with her. But now that I got my rant out, I've got that off my chest. I vented. I'm feel a little bit better. I got this. This is I want to play this part, this bit from Michael Bolden. Michael Bolden runs the 10th Amendment Center. They're very good at what they do. They've been around for quite a while. I've met Michael Bolden at UCLA one time when he gave a presentation there. And he's been effective. The 10th Amendment Center has been effective to agree in helping to move some legislation through to help protect our rights, to put our federal government back in its place where it's supposed to be. Unfortunately, the peak crowd that we have in our federal government right now, as demonstrated by that moron I was just talking about, really don't have any use for the Constitution whatsoever. I mean, they chuck it aside every chance they get. And we, as the people of this country, if we still believe in voting, if you still believe that the system isn't rigged, which, by the way, there's another example of it. There's a whole vote going on where the machines will not count the Republican Party's ballots. Let's see if I can bring that one up here. So I know where it is. Here it is. In Pennsylvania, the voting machines are caught rejecting the GOP ballots, and people are starting to figure out election fraud again. Oh, but that's okay. Because, you see, the election officials, they're going to collect all the ballots that the machines won't count, and they'll count them at a later date. Come on, how stupid do they think we are? They're going to do this again, and they're going to keep doing it again and again and again as long as we allow. We as a people have got to put pressure on our elected officials. Because the only other remedy that we have right now is not going to be a pretty one. And if AOC thinks going through January 6th was having served in war, she hasn't got a damn clue as to what's coming. But Michael Bolden put out this really great video talking about what he considers to be the five worst laws in American history. And I watched the video. I listened to what he had to say. I had a hard time disagreeing with him. I mean, I might have added a few, but I think he's pretty spot on this. So take a listen to it. If you agree with him, that's fine. He can't get to every one. He even said himself, you know, there's so many to choose from. How do you pick five to be the top five worst of all time? But he did a very good job on this and really nailed a lot, because a lot of the laws that he's talking about here have spawned all these other unconstitutional laws. And there was a saying by Thomas Jefferson, a quote from Thomas Jefferson, where he said, "To take a single step beyond the boundaries thus specially drawn around the powers of Congress is to take possession of a boundless field of power no longer susceptible to any definition. Okay. In other words, they step outside the boundaries. There's nothing to stop them. They don't care. The Constitution ceases to exist in their mind, essentially. And if you notice, they never hold themselves accountable for anything in Washington, D.C. Occasionally, they'll throw somebody under a bus to kind of calm people down. But for the most part, all the people who are in the major positions of power in Washington, D.C. never get held accountable for anything, regardless of how many times they violate the Constitution of the United States. So I'm going to run this clip by Michael Bolden and see if you agree with him.
The hardest part about coming up with the five worst federal laws in U.S. history is the fact that we live under the largest government in the history of the world, and every single one of these federal acts is doing violence to the original legal meaning of the Constitution. And that's basically how Thomas Jefferson put it here in 1791. Let me pull this up on the screen. And he put it this way. To take a single step beyond the boundaries thus specially drawn around the powers of Congress is to take possession of a boundless field of power, no longer susceptible of any definition. He recognized, like so many of the other founders and old revolutionaries, they recognized that precedent was a serious problem. Even a tiny step beyond the lines, the chains of the Constitution would lead to another one and another one and another one and another one. And this was in his opinion against the constitutionality of the National Bank, against the Bank Bill of 1791. And here from Wiki, they put it this way, the Bank Bill of 1791, and this is the first of these five that I want to mention, is a common term for two bills passed by the first Congress of the U.S. on February 25th and March 2nd of 1791, and surprise, signed by President George Washington, even against the opinions of his longtime allies in Virginia, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and Edmund Randolph, sided with Alexander Hamilton instead. It granted that a bank of the U.S. shall be granted limited legal rights in order to manage the national finance, to obtain loans for the federal government in case of sudden emergencies, and to promote trade and industry. I've done a few episodes on this. For example, last October, October 2nd, 2020, Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution versus the National Bank, that opinion where I took that first quote from, he had a ton of statements. Really, this is not a super long episode, but Jefferson really opposed the National Bank, the first bank of the U.S., the bank bill on 10th Amendment grounds, even though the 10th Amendment hadn't been ratified yet. But under the general principle that the federal government would be one of limited delegated powers and everything else would be reserved to the people of the several states. He's basically saying, like, look, we've never delegated this to the federal government, so therefore you can't do it. He also responded to claims that would use the Commerce Clause, the General Welfare Clause, and the Necessary and Proper Clause, basically the same type of stuff we hear today. When they can't find something that authorizes, they just start making different legal arguments to claim that they have the power anyways. James Madison also, and I did another episode on this, James Madison, the Constitution versus the National Bank. I did this in April of this year. He gave a very similar argument rejecting the notion of a national bank on the idea of the general constitutional principle that they can only exercise those powers delegated to it, even before the 10th Amendment existed. Everyone understood that that was how things were supposed to be. He also pointed out that there was a proposal to give the federal government or delegate to the federal government the power to have grant charters of incorporation. It was rejected in Philadelphia. So Madison pointed out, like, look, this wasn't even in the document. We considered it. We said no to it. It never even went to the people of the several states for consideration. So therefore, you don't have the power. Anyways, I encourage you to check out both of those episodes. I really enjoyed sharing that information. Now, the first bank of the U.S., signed into law by George Washington, expired in 1811. But a second one was actually brought back in 1816 by James Madison. We've got to talk about that a little bit later. And that one expired sometime around 1840, 1841, something like that. But it really set the precedent. And many of the arguments in support of that back in 1791 were made in support of the Federal Reserve Act, 1913, a very horrible year. Here's how Mike Meharry describes the Federal Reserve, what we live under today. It's far more expansive than those original central banks, but the precedent led to something far worse. The Federal Reserve, Mike writes, serves as the engine that makes all of the U.S. government's unconstitutional spending possible. Without the Fed, the entire system would collapse. So number one, this is not in any particular order. Number one, first one I wanted to cover was the bank bill of 1791. The second one goes to 1934. And here from Time, of all places, the first piece of national gun control legislation. I think there was actually another one based on more commerce issues back in 27. But we can say the NFA passed on June 26, 1934. The National Firearms Act was part of President FDR's New Deal for crime, which was meant to curtail gangland crimes of that era, such as the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Of course, they always have good reasons to sell this stuff to the public, but they just really want more power. The NFA imposed a tax. Now, the power to tax is the power to destroy, so they imposed a tax on the manufacturing, selling, and transporting of firearms listed in the law, among them short-barrel shotguns and rifles, machine guns, firearm mufflers and silencers, we should call them sound suppressors, really. Due to constitutional flaws, they say. Very milquetoast here. Constitutional flaws is an understatement. The NFA shouldn't have existed. No federal gun control is authorized by the Constitution, period. But the NFA was modified several times. This $200 tax, which I think in current dollars is somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000. This is a ton, which was high for the era, especially if you think about the economic situation in 1934. This was a prohibition, really. It was high for the era. It was put in place to curtail the transfer of those weapons. And another episode I want to mention, of course, is Second Amendment preservation, foundation to nullify federal gun control, because once they passed that, they expanded and grew federal gun control measures, 1968, 1986, 1988, 2018, and we should be seeing, I'm sure we'll see more in the future from somebody. And this is the strategy. Sooner or later, the people of the several states have to recognize that you are not going to be able to get the federal government through their federal courts, federal Congress, federal imperial, White House, whatever. They are not going to limit their own power. And the only way to protect the Second Amendment, our natural right to keep and bear arms, is to learn how to exercise those rights without relying on the federal government to give us permission. I encourage you to check out that episode for a strategy to nullify these acts into oblivion. Number three is the Controlled Substances Act. Another piece of federal prohibition. This one, the CSA from Wikipedia, is a statute establishing federal U.S. drug policy under which the manufacture, importation, possession, use, and distribution of certain substances is regulated. It's generally controlled, prohibited, and has created a national police state in order to enforce that. In fact, there's been a lot of foreign policy adventurism, imperialism, in order to implement this as well. It was signed into law by President Richard Nixon, and it also served as the national implementing legislation for the Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs. What was that? This was a UN treaty from the 60s, basically international legislation from the UN. They couldn't enforce it, but they called upon each member state to enforce it on their own. The US, of course, they made that happen in a big way. And so that was signed by Nixon in 70, and it went into effect in, I believe, May of 1771. Here's Lawrence Vance in a 2013-2014-ish article that's over at Mises.org, which, of course, I will link to in the show notes at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path to liberty. Vance puts it this way. One can search the Constitution morning, noon, and night with an electron microscope, X-ray vision, and night vision goggles, and never see a reference to the national government having the power to identify drugs, regulate drugs, classify drugs, set up a drug enforcement administration, outlaw drugs, pass a single law related to drugs, or have anything whatsoever to do with any drugs. And I did an episode on this, one of my favorite actually, the Constitution on the War on Drugs, looks like July 15th, 2020. And here's from the summary. Few programs have done such consistent and sweeping damage to the original legal meaning of the Constitution as the so-called war on drugs. It's created an international police state, and it's led to wars, the U.S. government getting involved in all kinds of foreign conflicts, and then, of course, the war on your liberty and the Constitution here at home. I encourage you to check that out. So number three is the Controlled Substances Act of 1970. Number four, I don't think many of you would be surprised to hear me say this one, but the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, and hear from an article by Mike Meharry. On September 18th, 1850, President Millard Fillmore signed the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 into law. I think it was one of the most reprehensible acts in American history based on what it was. It's just a horrible piece of legislation. The Fugitive Slave Act set up a legal structure. This is the federal government trying to keep slavery in check because people were escaping, northern states were resisting, and they were really trying to clamp down on that stuff and shut it down. This is a federal nationwide pro-slavery act. It set up a legal structure to facilitate the capture of runaway slaves and their return to their so-called owners. I like that Meharry puts that in quotes. Abolitionists dubbed it the Bloodhound Law. It significantly expanded the provisions of the Fugitive Slave Act of 1793 and was extremely unpopular in northern states. It erased any semblance of due process for an accused runaway slave. Check this out. Mike says a white man could basically drag a black man or woman into slavery on the power of his word. Accused runaways weren't even allowed to testify in their own defense. And those who tried those cases, these commissioners, they got paid double the amount for everyone that got sent in the South back into slavery. It was like 10 bucks if they went to convict or send them to slavery, and 5 bucks. So there was a financial incentive as well to send people into slavery. Absolutely disgusting. Of course, we mentioned in this article that it was very unpopular in northern states. In fact, it is one of the most successful situations, issues of nullification of a federal act in history. And I did an episode on that. I've done a number actually here, September 18, 2019, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 and nullification by northern states. I will link to that in the show notes, like everything else that I'm mentioning here today. And then the last one I want to cover, let's go to Judge Knapp. This is October 15th, 2001, when Congress enacted the so-called Patriot Act. They always give them these wonderful names, and they're really just garbage. With minimal floor debate, Knapp writes, in the Senate and no floor debate in the House. House members were given only 30 minutes to read the 315-page bill. And if you actually read through it, a lot of it is it's not even clear. A lot of it is referencing other stuff on the books already. So you're going to have to spend time doing research, say, well, this section changes this section of this previous part of the code. And it's just insane to have only 30 minutes, and then they vote on it and they pass it anyways. Congress, Judge Knapp wrote, enacted this most unpatriotic rejection of privacy and constitutional guarantees. And together with its offspring, again, it sets a precedent. As soon as you do one, they're always going to turn it into more and more and more. The Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal 2004 and the Intelligence Reform Act of 2004, the Patriot Act not only permits the execution of self-written search warrants. This is something that the American Revolution was fought over. On a host of new subjects, it rejects the no criminal prosecution protection of its predecessors by requiring evidence obtained contrary to the Fourth Amendment to be turned over to prosecutors and mandating that such evidence is constitutionally competent in criminal prosecutions. That's Judge Knapp. There's a great article that he wrote on that as well. And here from John Whitehead, an article that we republished from his great work over at the Rutherford Institute, he wrote that the Patriot Act also redefined terrorism so broadly. And a lot of people cheered this on at the time. It redefined it so broadly because they're so afraid. And we know that fear is the foundation of government power. So they use this fear of like the bad guys coming to get you to cheer on the ability to redefine terrorism. And it's so broad that many non-terrorist political activities such as protest marches, demonstrations, and civil disobedience are now considered potential terrorist acts. Whitehead also says the Patriot Act justified broader domestic surveillance, the logic being that if government agents knew more about each American, they could distinguish the terrorists from law-abiding citizens. No doubt a reflexive impulse shared by small-town police and federal agents alike. I did an episode on this kind of growth of the surveillance state that goes way beyond the Patriot Act. Of course, we generally focus on Section 215, the CDR program, monitoring calls, but it goes way beyond that. Much of the Patriot Act never expires. And here I did this episode November of 2019, Patriot Act on Steroids, Surveillance State Beyond Section 215. And what happened? Out of the Patriot Act, we got so much more. Everything from fusion centers and information sharing to national security letters, TSA-enhanced screen, and the growth of facial recognition. It all came from the Patriot Act and its successor. So those are the five that I think are the absolute worst. I'm curious which ones you think I missed. Of course, I skipped over a ton of them because there's so many bad things on the books across the spectrum. We've got the Bank Bill of 1791, the National Firearms Act of 1934, the Controlled Substances Act of 1970, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, and the Patriot Act of 2001. And I think we really could close off with this great quote from Roger Sherman. Of course, we have to have this mentality on everything that the government does. And he put it this way: all acts of the Congress not warranted by the Constitution would be void. That covers almost everything they've done in our lifetime and for many decades before that. And it really is time for we, the people of the several states, to start treating them that way too. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something. I hope you're encouraged to check out some of these other episodes that I will link to in the show notes. If you support the show and you want to help us spread the word, you can do so by smashing the like button, leaving a review on Apple Podcast or any other podcast.
All right, so I'm going to cut it there. There's only less than a minute left. But he's not wrong. He's absolutely not wrong. Every one of the laws that he was talking about that have been passed by Congress all the way back to the 1700s, are completely unconstitutional. And of course, my pet peeve, which are the Gun Control Act laws, which none, there is no such thing as a constitutional gun control law. Doesn't exist. The Second Amendment is very, very specific about that. And the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And don't give me any of that nonsense. I've had this argument with a bunch of other people before. No, it's all about the militias. It says so right there. Read that clause again sometime. Okay. That clause does not express the right. It tells you because the security of a free state is necessary. Okay, then you need a militia. That means what is a militia? Okay, the militia is every able-bodied man who can carry a rifle, can get into a combat situation. Of course, they gave an age limit on it, but if you could carry a rifle, if you were able-bodied, you were considered part of the militia. You had to supply your own weapons. They were not supplied for you. Therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it's not about duck hunting. It's not about target shooting. It's not about sporting purposes. It's all those stupid arguments that the liberals like to make up. None of them make any sense whatsoever. If you ever read the Federalist Papers and understood where the Founding Fathers were coming from on the Second Amendment, they just came out of a war and kicked the ass of the world's one superpower at the time, is because they recognized that a tyrannical government could happen again even here. And if you think it can't, I was told about this conversation that somebody that I know had here in Wisconsin with some woman from Venezuela. And she was talking about how her and her family had escaped Venezuela because of all the things that they're doing down there. Right now, they are, if you're white in Venezuela, you are screwed. They do not want you there. They are taking all your property and kicking you out of the country. Okay, not to mention the fact that they have turned that entire country socialist and took it from one of the world's super economies and turned it into an absolute dump, the socialist hellhole that it is, where people were so hungry they were slaughtering their dogs and their cats. And when those were gone, they went to the zoos and started killing the zoo animals for food. Because if some people tried to grow their own food on their own farms, the state came in and shut them down. It's kind of like what Khrushchev did in the Ukraine. And so she was talking about all the different, this is the conversation as it was explained to me. She was talking about all the different things that were happening down in Venezuela, how the country turned into a dump and how her and her family escaped and all of that. And then she said, we're seeing it happen here in your country. In the United States of America, we're watching happen here exactly what happened in Venezuela. Now, I've talked to people from the European countries, you know, the ones who escaped from Poland and the ones from Czechoslovakia and a few other places. And they told me the same, and this was years ago, they told me the exact same thing. We're watching happen in the United States what happened over there. It was a gradual thing. We didn't recognize it at the time, and by the time we did, it was too late. And that's why you got Revolution Radio here, out here sounding the warning bells to everybody to wake the hell up and understand what the hell's going on in this country. So she was giving this story to this person I know. They don't like me to mention them on air too much, so I don't. But some other lady standing in line, who, when I heard what she said, sounded like a blind, deaf, and dumb liberal, turned around and said, "Yeah, well, you know, that would never happen here." And the lady from Venezuela looked at her and said, "No, it is happening here. You just don't see it. You've never had to live through it. You didn't see it." So the Second Amendment is our line of defense, and they are trying to destroy it. And you can go back to all the other laws that Michael Bolden was just talking about. And the one thing about them that Jefferson, quote, touched on, and what he touched on, is that they always lead to other laws. They always expand the power of the federal government where the government doesn't have any authority whatsoever. Let's go back to the Banking Act. Well, you had the First National Bank of the United States that expired. Then we got the Second Bank of the United States. And that was the big fight with Andrew Jackson, who refused to sign an extension. The bank actually expired in 1836. And Jackson's famous line on his deathbed, "I killed the banks." He's very proud of that. But of course, you know, they brought back the Fed in 1913. They tried, you know, there's a whole, if you read The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin, it'll give you the entire pretty comprehensive history of how the Federal Reserve came into being. But even doing the First National Bank and George Washington signing that was completely unconstitutional. The articles in Constitution, which are pertaining to Congress, the House of Representatives, specifically state that the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof belong to Congress, belongs to the House. Nothing in there gives them the authority to hand that off to anybody else. There is nothing that says there, unless they don't feel like doing it, they can create a bank. And this private bank can charge interest to the United States and basically bankrupt them. And that was one of the reasons Andrew Jackson refused to sign an extension to the Second National Bank, because he saw the inflation happening. He saw the national debt going up. And by comparison, that national debt is nothing compared to what it is today, even for adjusted dollars. So he paid off the national debt to the bank and basically told Biddle to pound sand. And Biddle did exactly what the banks told him to do and what he said he was going to do. And he started contracting the money supply and creating a period of deflation and depression. What we got now, because of the Federal Reserve, is we have inflation because there's too much money out there. The federal government is borrowing this money at next to nothing from the Federal Reserve. And by the way, the Federal Reserve doesn't really have any money. They just make an entry into a ledger book. And our dollar value has dropped by 98 to 99% of its value from it was in 1913. The country actually went bankrupt in 1933. This is the whole snowball effect that any one of those laws that Michael Bolden was talking about has an absolute snowball effect. And once people in Congress step across the line, they have no problem taking more. This is why you do not want to ask the government for anything. You do not want to ask them, "Oh, please, government, can you please bail us out?" It's what we should have said, like even at the beginning of this whole COVID nonsense, when they said, "Well, we're locking the states down," we should have flipped them. Everybody should have flipped them the bird and said, "No, we're not. We're not closing our stores. We're not going bankrupt, and we don't want your handouts." Because there's always that snowball effect, and it keeps on going. And if you look at what Fauci and Biden and the rest of the Goon Squad in Washington, D.C. are doing now, All they're doing is trying to expand power. For the last 100 years, all it has been an expansion of power. And even before that, you can argue Abraham Lincoln, the expansion of federal power under him, but we'll save that for another time. So the Banking Act, what did that do? All it did was destroy the value of our money, and they've now extended the Federal Reserve Charter indefinitely. They have complete control over our monetary system, and they were put in place to control the cycles of inflation and deflation, and yet all they do is cause it. Okay. Federal Reserve note, what is it? It's backed by nothing. It's a debt note. Okay, we are in a debt monetary system. The last guy to challenge the monopoly of the Federal Reserve over a monetary system got his head blown off in Dallas. And if you go out to any of those coin trading places, you can probably find one of those United States notes, not a Federal Reserve note. This is a United States note. It's got a red seal on it, dated 1963, $2 and $5 bills. They had 20s, but they destroyed them all before they went into circulation. Those dollars were actually backed by silver. And JFK based that on Executive Order 11110. And the reason he could do that was because of an agricultural act from the 1930s. I did some research on it. One of these days, I got to go into a little more detail about how Executive 11110, the history, the etymology of it. But what the Banking Act, the Federal Reserve Act in this country has done has been nothing but disastrous for this country. The second one that Michael Bolton talked about, the gun control laws, constitutional gun control law, doesn't exist, has been nothing but disastrous for the people in this country, gave rise to law enforcement agencies on the federal level that do nothing but abuse their power, speaking specifically of the ATF, okay? The ATF has been one of the most abusive departments ever even imagined in the federal government, and next to the IRS. Okay, they are so bad that when back in the 1990s, and I remember reading all the articles and the stories and all the little bits and pieces, I was following it pretty closely. When the ATF was considered to be disbanded, they didn't know what to do with the agents because these were federal agents. They were trained federal agents. They couldn't just kick them to the curb. The problem was no other agency would take them, not the FBI, not the IRS. Nobody would take them into their other agencies because they were too corrupt. They were absolutely beyond the pale. And if you think they weren't, remember Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver? Remember Waco with the Branch Davidians? I mean, what did the Branch Davidians really do? They didn't really break any laws. There was no proof or no evidence of it. And what did they do? They burned him down and ran him over with a tank. Randy Weaver, and they came up with this afterwards. They conned him into doing an illegal gun transfer, which they later on proved was entrapment. And he holed up at a cabin out in the woods, and they ended up shooting his son and his wife. And I think they killed their dog, too. And that's what the ATF does. They would go around, and they would do this to the gun shops, too. The people holding an FFL, they would go around, and they would set up a condition where they would entrap the FFL holder and then arrest them and say, hey, look, we're doing our job. We're getting these bad people off the streets. And in the meanwhile, when Obama was in office, they trafficked a whole bunch of firearms down to Mexico. Oh, maybe we'll just see where they go. And they lost every single one of them. And now every once in a while, when a shooting happens, one of the Fast and Furious rifles pops up somewhere. Again, all the gun control laws that have been out there have been nothing short of disastrous. And if anybody tells you yet you're putting a silencer on your gun, this is one of the points that he made, that Michael Bolton made, is like, if you're putting a silencer on your rifle. No, it doesn't silence the rifle by any stretch of the imagination. All that stuff that you hear in the movies, when you can barely hear the pistol or the rifle shooting. No, it doesn't work that way. All it does is dampen the sound down enough where you don't have to wear hearing protection all the time, so you don't blow your eardrums out. Which, if you've gone shooting enough times, you'll know that if you don't wear hearing protection, your ears will be ringing by the end of the day. They'll probably be ringing way before that, but you'll do a lot of damage to your hearing. And again, let's go into one of the other laws that he talked about that came in. The whole government, federal government taking over the drug, regulating drugs. There, again, nothing in the Constitution that gives them the authority to do so. Remember what the 10th Amendment says. All powers not delegated to the federal government by the Constitution belong to the states or the people respectively. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you get the right to regulate drugs. That's up to the states to decide. And yet they took it on, and what did we get? We got the war on drugs, which has been one of the most abysmal failures of the government ever. It has done nothing but increase drugs. Remember what happened during Prohibition, what happened in Chicago, what happened in New York and all the other places. Booze was flowing. Booze made the organized crime prosper, made them into millionaires. And at the time, in 1920s, 1930s, having millions of dollars is like having billions today. So we gave rise to organized crime. Again, another abysmal failure. Every time the federal government sticks its nose where they lawfully, constitutionally, their nose doesn't belong, they make things worse. And they always do. And there's a lot of money. The thing is that there's a ton of money being made on it. This is why they do it. It's not for our sake. Don't ever let the federal government tell you that this is for your safety. They could care less about your safety. I mean, if the whole scamdemic didn't prove that, I don't know what else will. Nothing that they do is for your safety anymore. They don't care about you. I've said that a bunch of times before. The federal government does not care about you. They don't care about your safety. They don't care if you die or not. This is why with the whole COVID mess, they're insisting that you do everything possible to make sure that you stay sick, that you stay ill. This is what our healthcare system, what happened with our healthcare system when the Rockefellers took that over. They've done everything to make sure you stay sick. Why? Because they want customers. They need the money. They're not rich enough yet, apparently. And we have these crooked politicians in Washington, D.C. that go right along with them. And I would like to add to the... to part of this when Michael was talking about, let me scroll back here, about the controlled substances. Well, let's go into this one. Okay, I'll go back to my thought process on one of them in a second. The Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. Yeah, absolutely abysmal. But you know, one of the things that people don't seem to realize about the Fugitive Slave Act, when he talked about the northern states pushing back on it, the northern states really did. This is where the remedy for this federal overreach lied. It was in the states. And if you've never heard of Joshua Glover, look him up. Joshua Glover was a slave who escaped north. He wound up in Wisconsin. I believe he's the one that wound up in Wisconsin. And at one point, because of the Fugitive Slave Act, the judge in Wisconsin said, nope, you have to return him, because they sent a couple of guys up to pick him up and bring him back down south. The judge in Wisconsin said, absolutely, this is what you're going to do. You're going to give them to these guys. You're going to hand them over. This was in Milwaukee, by the way. I'm skimming this article. The judge said you have to hand them over to the rightful owners and get them back down there. No, that's not what people in Wisconsin did. A man named Sherman Booth led a group of people down to the jail the day after he was, the morning after the judge came down with his ruling, says you have to return Joshua Glover to the owners down in the South. And Sherman Booth and a bunch of other guys went on. They broke down the door of the jail, and they took the guy and got him out of there. That's the state. That's the people in the states taking back their power from the federal government. That's what we need to see more of now. When the federal government acts unconstitutionally, that's got to be the remedy. I mean, we talk about a lot of problems here. Coming up with a solution isn't always an easy proposition, but that's what the remedy's got to be. It's got to be the people standing up and telling the federal government to basically piss off. We're not. Number one, let's go relate this to the whole COVID mess, the whole scamdemic. Number one, no, I'm not wearing a mask. No, I'm not getting a vaccine. It's not, which it, by the way, isn't really even a vaccine. No, I am not giving up my firearms. No, I am not doing all these other regulations that the federal government has no authority to delegate. None whatsoever. They do not have the power. It's not written in the Constitution. The Constitution has never been amended to give them that authority. They just go ahead and do it and say, go ahead and stop us. We got more guns than you do. That's what it's come down to. Government is force. Government is not your friend. That was, I think that was George Washington who said that. Let me see. I'm trying to bring this up here. Say the quote goes like this: "Government is not reason; it's not eloquence." And this is George Washington. This is who the quote is attributed to. It's not reason; it is not eloquence. Government is force, and like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And this is why you're seeing AOC have her stupid meltdown and thinking she's actually been in a war, and why you have a $1.9 billion spending bill passed in Congress. I think it just passed the House to have a permanent military armed security force in Washington, D.C., which we've never had before. We've never had to, but they're all using January 6th as an excuse to do it, and again, to overreach their authority and protect themselves. You, average Joe citizen out there working to put food on your table, you know, and protect your family and, you know, just live a normal life. Screw you. You don't get protection. You don't get that kind of protection. And in a lot of places, if you do protect yourselves and you have to use extreme force to do it, they will drag you into court and put you in jail. So this is the kind of thing. These are the kind of things we're dealing with our government, and it's up to us to take our liberty back by simply, number one, not complying with anything that's unconstitutional. That's got to be the key right there. Do not comply, Dr. Fauci. That fake, that liar comes out and says, no, you got to wear masks. No, don't wear masks. Well, now wear two masks. Well, now get the vaccine. Vaccine is out there killing people, by the way. People are getting sick to death. People are having all kinds of problems afterwards. God even knows what's in the damn thing. It's never been through trials to find out the long-term effects. But get it or wear the mask, as Joe Biden says. Our job as free-thinking Americans is to not comply. That's what we need to do, is stop complying. And just like what happened with Joshua Glover in Washington, D.C. back in the 1850s, when the government tries to enforce an unconstitutional law, we need to push back against the federal government. Some states already have. I don't think they've gone far enough. When we came out here in Wisconsin with the Sanctuary County resolutions that just passed here, there's a couple of them, and there's still some more going. There's a push to get there's a push to get the entire state into as a Second Amendment sanctuary state, which would be great. With a current governor, I don't know that that's going to be possible, but it would be great to get it on the table anyway. If the Fed, there's got to be consequences involved. Any state or local law enforcement agency that aids the federal government in enforcement of unconstitutional gun control efforts, there needs to be consequences to them. Federal agents need to be held accountable. There should be consequences for them as well. The state needs to come up with a law. Any federal agent of any bureaucratic, idiotic law enforcement agency like the FBI or the ATF, especially the ATF, or any of the other numerous federal bureaucracies, if they come in there and come in here and they act unconstitutionally, try to confiscate firearms, number one, without a warrant, without due process, without, you know, whatever you can constitutional rights you can throw at them. If they act in that way, there's got to be consequences. They can be arrested and charged under state law. And if they sit there and say, well, you know, we're the federal government, we can do what we want. Well, no, I'm sorry, but that's not how the system of government was set up. It was set from the bottom-up power structure, not the top-down power structure. Okay, we, the people, are the ones who are supposed to have the power, not the federal government. The federal government is supposed to do what we tell them to do. And now they're simply acting on their own. They are I consider them to be a rogue government. There's not even the Republicans are any good. And that's one of the other things I think that Michael Bolden could have brought into the argument that he was making over the five worst laws ever created was, if you ever noticed, it didn't really matter who was in power. It, Republicans or Democrats, the agenda keeps moving forward. So anyway, we're in the break. Stay tuned, everybody. I got Cousin Bob coming on for the second hour, and we will be right back.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio!
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Be sure to go to the webpage, get in the chat room, talk with all the cool people that are in there. And if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, click the donation button at the top of the page and send it our way. We need all the help we can to keep us on the air, because remember, mainstream media is not telling you the truth. And I am going to call in Cousin Bob here. Yeah, everybody remembers Cousin and this show. And I've known him for a long time. We were doing the Ron Paul campaigning together in Los Angeles. Here we go.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing this evening? This is Cousin Bob.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know if you caught the first part of the show or not, but it was actually pretty good.
No, I didn't. What was the main topic?
Main topic was unconstitutional laws. Michael Bolden had put out a pretty good video of the five worst laws ever made in the entire history of the country.
Wow.
But if anybody wants to know what gun control sounds like, There's a great video out there with because George Floyd Day, you know, people celebrating a criminal. And of course, all the riots and everything started. This is what gun control sounds like. OK, this is a reporter on the live TV feed talking about reforming the police departments, you know, defunding the police departments to. Telling people that the police should not be like harassing black people, you know, all the stupid talking points that the far left liberals are talking about. And this is in Minneapolis. And this is a live feed from where the police have essentially been handcuffed from actually enforcing the laws there. So this is what it sounds like.
This bill of comprehensive police reform just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
So that's what Minneapolis sounds like now, with everybody trying to hamstring the police from actually doing their job. And no, I'm not for bad cops at all. I think if you've got a bad cop in there, they should be strung up by their balls and beaten like a pinata, you know, taken off the force. And we've seen what happens with the bad cops going nuts. There's plenty of videos out there of the police not even understanding what their job is. Half the time, you know, you try to tell them, like, look, you're acting unconstitutionally. You'd swear an oath to the Constitution. The first thing they do is get mad. And how dare you tell me how to do my job type of mentality takes over, because their training is they're supposed to control the situation And if you don't go along with it, well, then they're gonna use physical force on you. Those kind of cops don't need to be cops. Okay, they need to obey the Constitution. That's got to be the other part of the solution. That's what I was talking about in the first half of the show. Not only just the people and the states taking the power back from the federal government, the cops need to adhere to their oath to the Constitution, or they don't need to be cops, period. Mm-hmm. But this is what it sounds like. I mean, unfortunately, you've got to kind of balance this out. You know, the police can get out of control, but they kind of are necessary. And even worse, look at what's going on in Chicago. Chicago again is the murder capital of the country for another weekend.
Another black on black.
They've had multiple murders and multiple shootings in Chicago, which, by the way, has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. If you get caught with a gun, if you're not licensed, you get caught with a gun in Chicago, you are going to go to prison. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts. They do not want people to be able to defend themselves. And consequently, they have some of the worst neighborhoods in the entire country in Chicago. But
I think it's everywhere in every major city. There's a downtown where blacks are somehow habituated or congregated or have been placed there. And it's not just that all over.
Yeah, it's not even just the black neighborhoods. I mean, if they want to use that as an excuse, well, that's just kind of stupid. It's just people are screwed up in the inner cities. They've been just the family units have been destroyed. That was part of the globalist agenda, especially when the welfare system came into play in the country, that they said that you cannot have a father in the home. So all these Larry Elder, who's a talk show host out in California, I've met him once. He was a pretty decent guy. I've talked with him. And he's a black guy, and he used to have a lot of liberal points of view too, until he actually had to go out and get a job and make a living. Then he completely flipped. But he talks regularly, and Candace Owens talks regularly about how what destroyed the black communities more than anything else is the fact the welfare system came in and destroyed the family units. They destroyed the nuclear family and the black community. Fathers were not allowed to be present. And it turned their entire community upside down. And now, of course, we have all these communist Marxist organizations out there running wild and still blaming white people for everything. I mean, the mayor of Chicago, I wanted to get to this in the last hour, but I got on a rant.
Lightfoot? Isn't that her name?
Lori Lightfoot. Here's...
Look at that one. Well, the last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it.
Oh, that's funny.
But so Mayor Lightfoot is out there doubling down on it. And now she's saying, I will not take any interviews from white reporters. I will only take interviews from black and brown reporters. So she's perpetuating the whole racist narrative also. Why? Because, you know, white people have white privilege. I would like to know where the hell my white privilege is, because I can't seem to find it anywhere.
Not anymore. Not as a male. Remember that they destroy the family unit with the males being attacked almost.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a real bad system.
Yeah, well, Lightfoot got some...
Our system is bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what we were talking about in the first half, is how screwed up our governmental system is, and people really need to take it back. But here's the thing, too, but there's been some pushback against Beetlejuice. The Chicago Tribune, which was going to do an interview with Lori Lightfoot, they canceled it because of her comments, which was decent. And it just keeps getting better for her. The police union in Chicago, they issued a vote of no confidence which, if you understand how that works, I mean, people don't seem to understand what a vote of no confidence means. It really means we're not listening to you anymore. So police superintendent David Brown and the first deputy superintendent Eric Carter came out with that last Wednesday. And the members of the police union said the reason they gave her a vote of no confidence was they cited what they described as a lack of consideration for police officers' working conditions. And you know, there's that huge push to defund the police and all police are racist and you know, the whole stupid nonsense that they keep doing.
Wasn't it in Minnesota where they deplatformed him in Minneapolis?
Minneapolis they did. That was again that
okay,
was
okay now. That have was they one done of
the
any
clip I just played.
Okay, are there any statistics now that they deplatformed and is crime really
violent
high
crime
up
is
now?
Going up. Violent crime and murder is going up in Minneapolis. There's not enough police officers there to take care of all the problems, and since the criminal element in the city has been emboldened because they were told that they're allowed to do this because you know you've been oppressed your whole life, they've gone hog wild. They're, you know, you tell a criminal element
how many
that they
how
can
many,
they have free reign, they're going to take it.
Now, how many criminals that were jailed that they let go? Is that all across the U.S.? Is that just California?
Well, it's a state by state. And see, what they did was they told the state governments that you have to take so many people out of jail because, you know, they went through the excuse of it's unjust, you know, it's racist and all, you know, all the incredible code words that they always use. And Gavin Newsom in California, this is the one number that I do have statistics for. I know they're trying it here in Wisconsin too, but those numbers haven't got a hard number on it yet. But in California, they're going to let 72,000 violent criminals out of jail, well, violent and nonviolent. And the reason that they're saying that they're going to do that is because they say we don't have the funds to house all these people anymore because the federal government's withholding money. And it's like, well, why do you need federal government to hold money? Why is the federal government paying for it? The federal government, if they're giving you money for your state prison system, that means all the other states are chipping in to help you out. So,
whoa.
And of course, when money that they don't have, they're just borrowing anyway and jacking up the national debt, you look at the debt clock, this was part of what we're talking about in the first hour. You know, if you look at the debt clock, it says 27, almost 28 trillion dollars. It's over 120. It's over $125 trillion because of all the unfunded mandates that are in place. This is why the banks the banking system, this is why I'm glad they killed the first bank. Andrew Jackson killed the second one, and the Federal Reserve System should never have been implemented ever. It should never have come into play.
Wasn't that the Titanic? The members of the people who were on the Titanic that were against it, they all perished.
Mm-hmm.
And then came the Jekyll Island.
Again, that's a great history to read if you read the Creature from Jekyll Island. But they've destroying our economy. If you've noticed this is how great the Biden administration is going. When you watch gasoline going through the roof, lumber is up some cases 300%. And there's no reason for it. Good luck finding ammunition. Every store that I go to around here to find ammunition, the shelves are empty. You know, if I didn't reload my own ammo, I wouldn't have any right now.
Wow.
People are getting, and it, well, again,
people
I guess,
are ready. People are ready.
I guess ammo is the new toilet paper. But
I just don't know what's going to be. They're dragging their feet with this.
Well, this is the problem. They're hitting us from every single direction. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not hitting us with one thing after another after another. They're hitting us with multiple things at the same exact time. They destroyed our faith in the election system. They ruined our health care. Over this last year, they absolutely devastated this country economically. A lot of businesses that shut down, they're not coming back. Joe Biden is looking to hand out free goodies to everybody just to keep themselves in power. They're constantly using the COVID scamdemic to pass every single stupid law that they want to, and they just say it's because of COVID. And then there's all the other information that's coming out. I want to talk about the COVID on this part of the show because, you know, it has to be talked about. You know, the absolute fraud that was involved in pushing this whole thing from day one, starting over a year ago, that has absolutely wrecked this country. And yet they still got people so brainwashed that even the idiots that go out and get the COVID vaccine, they're still running around wearing masks. They're not listening.
Even though you don't have to.
Well, they're listening to their TVs. You know, it was like that that scene in Network, that movie Network. You know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. There was a scene in Network where the main character, I forget what the main character's name was. It was Peter Finch that played him. But they gave him his own TV show, not just as an anchor on a news program. They gave him his own TV show, and he was basically telling everybody, this tube, talking about the TV, this tube tells you what to think. It tells you what to wear. It tells you what to eat. It tells you what to do with your entire day. Turn the tube off. And that's what we've seen with this entire COVID thing. The tube is telling everybody what to do.
Well, it's everything. It's not only that. Okay, I love this experiment, and I invite anybody at home, when you get a chance, just think of, I don't know, any four numbers, any three numbers, any five numbers together. Like I just put, you just put seven, like I did, 7, 8, 9, 4, just random, new cases. AI had, like, everywhere you go, you know what? Germany reports 7,800 new COVID cases.
Oh, yeah, okay? Yeah.
I mean, you just put any numbers.
You punch in a random set of numbers, and then you put COVID, and it'll tell you that's how many COVID cases there are.
New cases, yeah. And they give you a different part of the world. Germany,
yeah.
I mean, this whole thing with AI, everything was so planned out. You've got to understand, people, this is the fourth generation of Project Operation Paperclip proteges. They've had 80 years to regroup, and take over the world.
Well, it's not just Operation Paperclip. If anybody doesn't know, that's when we brought the Nazi scientists over from Germany after World War II, but it's also Operation Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, well, yes, in combination, right.
Yeah, when the CIA got in to entertainment, into the news, and, you know, into all aspects, you know, in entertainment, you know, movies, television, music, and everything else, and they infiltrated that in order to push an agenda. And it was one of the CIA heads. Again, name escapes me, but he's one of the CIA heads said that our mission will be complete when everything that everybody in the country believes is a lie.
Yes.
But here's that clip from Network. This is actually really good. This is Peter Finch's Sidney Lumet talking about the television. And unfortunately, it's very appropriate for today because so many people...
And that was in what, 75 when that came out?
1976.
Okay.
And it's very true today because you can see it right in front of your eyes. People are saying, well, the TV told me this, you know, so-and-so on the news told me this, not realizing that all the news networks are controlled by six companies and they have no interest in anything that benefits you. It's all about the agenda.
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble. So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
And that's where he falls over and dies.
What about, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm sick and tired, and I'm not going to take it.
That was earlier in the movie when he flipped out on the air. But that was that right there. Basically, summed
it sounded up like today.
Yeah, exactly. Today. That's what I'm saying. It was done in 1976, and essentially saying that the television is lying to you. Yet at the same time, we get all these people when it came to the COVID nonsense, all the propaganda that was put out there. And I would substitute the tube now. I would substitute the television now for the internet because they're censoring everything on the internet that doesn't follow the agenda.
And they won't let anything. They won't let any truth out there.
Yeah,
you have to search. You got to go to Rumble now and Brighteon and what else?
Oh, I made a mistake. I made a mistake too. That was Sidney Lumet was the director. The character's name was Howard Beale, not Sidney Lumet. Played by Peter Finch, but that thing rings true now. This was 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago.
46
years ago. 76. Oh yeah.
24 and 21. No, actually 45. So 24 and 21. 45
years. It was that long ago, and it is more prophetic now than it was back then. Because people are absent. When they brought this COVID nonsense out and they started, the propaganda machine went into full swing. Everybody was glued to their TV. How many people are dying from COVID now? How many cases are there? How many masks do I have to wear? How many? I can't take hydroxychloroquine because the President Trump says to take it.
Trump said it was good.
Yeah, and then
Orange Man bad.
Yeah, mainstream media came out and said that Donald Trump lies to us, so I can't believe that either. So, and people are absolutely glued to their and I'm. Have this argument with people all the time.
I brought the stuff. I just noticed your text. Yeah. When do you want me to come?
You can come tonight. You can come tonight.
Yeah. No, we can hear you on the air.
I didn't hear back from you last night. I was going to come last night.
Okay.
About an hour. I'll call you. I'm about to give a ride. I'll call you back.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Make sure you call him back.
We got to remember. I know George Webb has done some pretty good work. And, you know, he goes back to the very, very first person or American that had COVID was a cyclist that was in the World Military Games. Not that many people knew that there were World Military Games, I believe, in October 2019. However, the Chinese Communist Party had the...
Have the what? Did I lose Bob? Oh, yeah, okay, Bob dropped. Yeah, well, here's the thing with the Chinese Communist Party is the fact that they have so many allies here in our own government. Big business has been investing in China for so long. They've owned most of Hollywood. They own the propaganda machines now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, they own the propaganda machine to the point where Hollywood cannot make a movie that is critical of communism or China. And with this whole thing coming out now that the Kung Flu actually did come out of Wuhan, they've been trying to suppress that for over a year now.
So, you know, like I was saying about these world military games. It's like the games for the military. And we did very bad. You know, it was just not highly publicized. However, it did go on. Nations from all over the world were there. But the garment makers, these Chinese garment makers, were sent to Milan, Italy, to make, you know, the sweats, the shorts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The uniform. But they did put on whatever it was a contagious flu. It was a bioweapon.
And, yeah, everybody knows that right now. Everybody's finally figuring that out.
After the games, everybody went down. Everyone went back on the airplanes to their own countries. And they spread it everywhere. So, I mean, it was real. There was some kind of thing out there. They never really isolated the virus.
No. Well, then here's the thing that Fauci,
and they haven't even done. What about the autopsies? How did they know that someone died from the COVID virus or if it was a regular flu pneumonia?
They don't. They just did the stupid test that has a extremely high inaccuracy rate, and they said that if you tested positive, it doesn't matter what you die from. We're going to list you as a COVID death. Getting a motorcycle accident, you're a COVID death.
And the incentives for the hospitals, weren't they getting like $39,000 for each?
Yeah, they
death?
Were. They were the hospitals.
I mean, this is crazy.
The hospital, because I've actually got this from a second source now. I was listening to somebody talk about the hospitals in Wisconsin paying off people to have their recently departed. Listed as a COVID death, they would be offering them money. And like I brought up that story before where this one family was offered $9,000 to have their relative listed as a COVID death, even though they didn't die from it, because the hospital would get extra money for it. Fauci has just been caught with his pants down because he was heavily involved in the Wuhan lab doing gain of function experiments on this virus, and then saying that he didn't. Even Rand Paul said he needs to be busted for perjury. Nothing's going to happen to Fauci. Don't ever hold your breath. Washington D.C. doesn't hold anybody accountable, and that's where, again, we the people have to step in. But Rand Paul came out in an interview and said, no, Fauci lied to the American people. He lied under oath. Yeah, and it's like watching those Peter Stroke videos, when he was up in those congressional hearings, and he had that stupid smirk on his face because he knows he wasn't going to get busted for anything. And Fauci knows the same thing. He knows he's not getting popped, but the thing right now is Fauci's getting he's losing a lot of political support because he is getting caught in a lie. He has been. He's been lying from day one. Kerry Mullis called him a liar. He said he knew what Fauci was doing when he committed fraud with the whole AIDS epidemic. You know, overshooting the cycles, the testing cycles on the PCR, which, by the way, isn't a diagnostic tool. It's a research tool. But these people like Howard Beale saying on that clip I just played from network, everybody's glued to the tube. Everybody's listening to what the tube is telling them and taking it as gospel truth. And who do they put on the tube more than anybody? They put Fauci on there because he's supposed to be the authority in this country on the progression of this non-existent pandemic.
Wow.
And it is
unbelievable.
It's absolutely. I mean, here's a clip. I got to play this because this is how stupid they are. I've got another one to play before we run out of time, but you got to listen to this one. I mean, they're bribing people right now to take the vaccine. They're putting people up for a lottery. You can win $1 million if you get the vaccine. De Blasio is offering free French fries. And this has got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, you know. And De Blasio is basically destroying New York City. But you got to listen to this. This guy is an absolute. I don't know how these people get elected to office, and more importantly, I don't know how they get reelected to office. If people had two brain cells to rub together, they'd be laughing at these people.
Free fries when you get vaccinated. I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this? Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger? No. This could be breakfast? Okay. I want you to look at this and think about, again, love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination. Vaccination. I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination right this moment. Thank you to Randy Garrudy and, of course, Danny Meyer, who's doing so much to help us with the recovery.
So this on air eating some cheap ass fries and a burger from,
and you can get a joint somewhere, I think.
Oh, I don't
free
know.
Joints.
I mean, this is what they're doing to try to bribe people into taking the vaccine, and we already know the vaccine is like just absolutely wrecking people. I mean, this is the depth of how low they'll go with the propaganda. Like, you can get some crisscut fries, and you can get a burger, and I want you to think of the burger when you get the vaccine. I hate to tell you this, but if somebody's sticking a needle in my arm, I'm not thinking about a hamburger or a cheeseburger.
Yeah, you're probably, if you have any brain, you're going, boy, I don't know if I should be doing this. I have a bad feeling. Oh, just throw your sleeve up. It's not going to hurt. That's what my sister told me. It doesn't hurt, you know.
Well, it doesn't. Maybe not. Doesn't hurt right away, but how about later on, when all the secondary side effects start kicking in?
Oh.
And here, yeah. There's this great clip of Professor Luc Montaigne, I know I'm pronouncing this wrong because it's French and I don't speak French. Professor Luc Montaigne,
mm-hmm.
who is, he's a Nobel Prize winner. He's a virologist. And he's out there saying that the vaccination is creating the variants in the virus. So the vaccines aren't even help, according to this guy, the vaccines aren't helping us. They're just making the situation worse. And all you got to do is watch the secondary reactions, you know, the adverse reactions that are happening, and we can tell they're making them worse. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has come out and said that it's going to absolutely destroy your immune system. Dr. Begins with an M. You're going to kill me if I forget it. The one whose website had to take down all of his stuff.
Oh, it's happening all over.
He had to take that. He came out and said that, you know, this is just making it worse. But the end result, if you listen to all of these doctors that are throwing up the warning flags, they're saying that, no, the virus isn't the problem. It's got a 99.98% survival rate. The problem is the vaccine. The virus was invented to get everybody to take the vaccine. Listen to what Bill Gates is talking about.
It's the Hegelian.
Well, it's what. Oh, yeah. It's a Hegelian.
Hegelian dialect.
Yeah, it's a Hegelian dialectic in practice. Yeah. And if this is not the most blatant example of it, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they wanted everybody to take these things. They had to create a reason for it. And then they had to scare the hell out of everybody so that they would run up and say, Big Brother, save us. You know, and they did it. But this professor, he won his Nobel Prize in 2008. And he went on to say that the vaccine program for the coronavirus is an unacceptable mistake. Mass vaccinations are a scientific error as well as a medical error. I'd play the clip of him saying all this. The problem is that it's all in French. So he said it was a scientific error as well as a medical error. It is an unacceptable mistake. The history books will show that because it is a vaccination that is creating the variants. And he went on to explain that there are antibodies created by the vaccine forcing the virus to find another solution or die. And this is where the variants are created. It is the variants that are a production and a result from the vaccination. Now, you think that the guys who created this virus, number one, that they can't even prove really exists, but you think that the guys who created this thing in the bioweapons lab didn't think of this ahead of time?
Boy, I don't know if they did. They're really, really devious. No.
This is the biggest con job in the history of the world.
Yes,
not just in this country, not just a false flag like the Gulf of Tonkin that got us into the Vietnam War. This is not any of the other false flags that we're all familiar with.
But at this point, all around the world, Nick, there's protests.
People, and there should be. There should be mass protests.
I just don't know where it's going to go with that stupid passport. So, folks, if you haven't taken the vaccine, you're very sensitive about this.
Don't.
Okay. Don't. But if somebody asks you, because yesterday I had an occasion where my neighbor came out and we were ready to fist bump and he stopped right before contact and he goes, you did have the vaccine, right? And I go, no. He pulled back and I go, I got to worry about you because you're going to be shedding. So I went to a gathering of like-minded people on Sunday. It was a little picnic. And I was saying the concern of what happened. And this lady says, listen, if a male asks you if you had the vaccine, you should just respond with, well, have you been circumcised? And if a female, asks you, you go, are your boobs real? You know, these are certain really intimate, you know, your own health. I mean, that's why they have HIPAA laws that they really, really put into It was really bad. I lost a great computer guy because he was getting paid so much money to write the HIPAA, you know, for the computers, so people could just print it out and sign.
Right.
But it's, you know, this is something that is very intimate. It's nobody's business. Nobody's business.
Well, again,
but now the people who are not vaccinated, we got to really worry about the ones that are shedding these proteins.
Well, not just that. We have to worry about the fact that we have become targets now for the government. They want to issue vaccine passports. They want, they're talking about this, people that haven't been vaccinated.
The credit scores?
Oh, yeah. The social credit scores, all that stupid stuff.
Vaccine hesitancy. He's vaccine hesitancy. I have a very high vaccine.
I'm not vaccine hesitant. I'm vaccine non-existent as far as they're concerned. I will not take it. I had my annual physical coming up at the Veterans Administration over in Green Bay, and I had to call to make the appointment. You know, they sent me the letter, you know, the whole procedure. And I called him up, finally got him on the phone. And the lady that I was talking to, the one who makes the appointments, is like, okay, we can schedule you for this day and that day or that day, you know, whatever time is best for you and all the rest of it. And I stopped her and I said, okay, hold on one second, though. Are masks required to come in the building? Oh, yes, that's part of our policy. Good. Cancel my appointment. I'm not coming.
Great. Right.
I'm not wearing a mask to go into the Veterans Administration building.
Well, you know, I have a gentleman that I live with, and he got vaccinated. He was a mask wearer from the beginning, staunch. Well, now that you don't have to wear your masks outside or going into Trader Joe's.
Right.
He went into Trader Joe's without a mask, just doing his shopping. He got abruptly not hit, but a lady was tapping him behind him, and he turned around and she goes, put your mask on. Cause he had it, I guess, on his chin. You know, I wore mine a lot on the chin, and, you know, and he got very, he's now realizing, you know, what I was sensitive about, you know, 14 months ago, but he got a taste of it today, and he was really upset, and he was upset at the way he actually reacted. You know, now I was just listening to, there's something happening SOI. I was listening to the Quantum Shift, Kent Dunn and Dr. Sam Muggsy. And Kent Dunn was saying, listen, this is the next 13 days, starting tonight through the 7th of June, is a very, very astrological. It's a very important to maintain your temper and just disengage. If somebody pisses you off, don't get in there. Just walk away. This is very important for people who want to, quote unquote, ascend or improve their being, raise their vibration. This is a real important 13 days, which kind of like makes me, you know, I have that, my daughter's baby shower, and even though she got the shot, everybody there, they want you to be vaccinated. So I think I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away and, you know, make my statement. But yeah, I don't want to go there the last day and just blow it, because I know I will. I know it. My family, they aim at me anyway. You know?
Yeah.
I'm crazy Uncle Bob, by the way. Crazy Uncle Bob. And, you know, one of my brother-in-law works for the Rand Corporation, and he, you know, every time I bring up like 9/11, he kicked me out of his house, you know, 15 years ago when I tried to show him a picture of a video of Building 7 coming down, which came down without any plane.
Yeah, and it came down 20 minutes after they announced it, too.
Right, at BBC. Yeah, it was bad. Also, earlier that afternoon, nobody heard of Osama bin Laden until Adnan Baruch.
Well,
of Israel.
And then you try to tell people who Osama bin Laden was. I mean, who he really was. He was a CIA asset during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. But nobody wants to hear that. All they want to hear is, oh, he was a terrorist because the TV told them that.
That's right.
See, this is the problem. People are so wrapped up in the TV. They've been so conditioned at this point.
Well, don't you remember the very first Iraqi war with Schwarzkopf? And they were going every night. It was like a football game. They go,
you might as well have the football announcers on there giving you the blow by blow as it was going on.
Well, they did. I had.
And you remember, Baghdad Bob?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing happening here. This is what you're hearing is the great Iraqi army chasing the Americans out of the city, and meanwhile the whole city is being blown to pieces by the American military behind them. That was absolutely hilarious.
Propaganda everywhere.
Yeah, but before we get off the air, we only got about 10 minutes or so left. I want to play this video clip.
Okay,
it's,
great.
It's Dr. Scott Atlas talking about the price of the COVID-19 lockdowns and calling it a failed policy. This is done through the Epic Times. It's not Epic, E-P-I-C. This is Epic Times, E-P-O-C-H Times.
E-O-C-H, yeah.
That the idea of using something that has been called targeted protection or focused protection, or even simply not labeling it and going into what I was writing about that should be done, is that we saw, even in March, April, May, the policies, the lockdown policies, were, number one, failing to protect the high-risk people. People were dying that were elderly. The nursing home deaths made up 40-50% of all deaths. And it was through many of our states. At one point in Minnesota, 80% of the deaths were in nursing homes. I don't know how the eventual tally ended up. So the policies of lockdown were, number one, failing to protect the high-risk people. And we knew who the high-risk people were. So that was a complete failure. The second part is that the harms of the lockdowns, you said some of them were so-called social, I said, but that's really a distortion. The harms of the lockdowns are deaths. It's not an economic harm. It's a death harm. Harm of the lockdowns means absent medical care. Okay, something like almost half of people, of the 650,000 people in the United States that get chemotherapy, almost half skip their chemotherapy. 40% of people with an acute stroke were too afraid to call an ambulance. They didn't want to be in a medical setting. Heart attack patients, 30 to 50% of heart attack patients were not coming in. You had 85% of live organ transplants did not get done during the 2 months of the lockdown. Okay, you had 300,000 plus cases of child abuse were not noticed because they were not going to school, and schools are the number one agency where child abuse is noticed. Opioid deaths, spousal abuse, suicides, these things were skyrocketing. These are deaths. This is not an economic issue. It's not money. This was a false dichotomy, I think, that is still somehow held by many people that, okay, the lockdowns are an economic harm, but we're saving lives. No, you're destroying families, you're destroying lives, and you're literally killing people with the lockdowns. The CDC itself said in the month of June last year, one out of four young adults, college age adults, one out of four Americans in college age thought of killing himself. There was a tripling to quadrupling of depression and anxiety. And the list goes on and on. We could look now at the more recent data. There's a doubling of psychiatric or psychological visits to doctors by teenagers in the United States, and a tripling of reported self-harm visits to doctors by teenagers in the Northeast where the lockdowns were severe. Tripling of self-harm. Okay, this is deadly serious, the harms of the lockdown. It is not an economic issue alone by any stretch of the imagination. All of the harms of the lockdowns were much worse for poor people, for the low-income families, for the minorities. That means all the school closures, all the college campus closures, the lack of in-person schools, but also the job losses, the loss of medical care, the loss of nutritional needs. All of these things were worse for the poorer people, for the low-income people. The lockdowns are what I called a luxury of the rich. People that are living and have a second house in the Hamptons or Palm Beach or Northern California that are sitting there drinking their lattes and doing their job on computer, that's not who's harmed by the lockdown. And frankly, I don't care about those people being harmed by the lockdown because they're not. They're fine. But all of these low-income people were destroyed from the lockdowns. And most of them will take years, if ever, to recover what they've lost from this. And by the way, if I can go on, the lockdown harms were deadly beyond the United States because of this interconnectivity of the economies. When you look at the numbers, the diversion of medical resources, I just read that more than 30 million new people in India alone are shoved from middle class into poverty. 400,000 new deaths this year alone from tuberculosis because of the lockdowns and diversion of medical resources. 130 million new people into starvation level poverty in the world because of the lockdowns, not because of the virus, because of the lockdowns. When you look at a country like Bangladesh, something like 90% of the workforce is in the garment manufacturing industry. That industry came to a halt. All of those people, that's most of the GDP of an entire country, wiped out. These people are in abject poverty now. So we can sit here, as was said by one of the famous faces of public health, that, I know the lockdowns are inconvenient, quote unquote. This is not an inconvenience. This is a matter of life and death. So to answer the original question, I'm sorry I got off track there, but the lockdowns failed. They still fail to protect the people who are at high risk. And the lockdowns destroyed and killed many other people, destroyed families, sacrificed our children out of fear for adults, even though the children do not have significant risk. And we didn't care as a country. We kept them out of school. And it's a disgrace. It's a heinous abuse of the power of public health experts to do what was done. And by the way, the targeted protection, if I can continue on one more important point, that I advocated personally, as well as other people that advocated this, didn't just involve ending the lockdowns. It involved doing better at protecting the elderly. It involved fixing the failure of the policy that has been implemented all across the country, with rare exception in the United States. That policy failed. It didn't just hurt people from the lockdown. It failed to save the elderly, and they were destroyed. They were killed by the lack of enough prioritization, enough resources. I was one of the few who was saying more testing in nursing homes. We know all the cases came in from the staff in nursing homes, for instance, yet the recommendation was one test per week of the staff. And I said, well, that's not exactly prioritizing testing. You should be testing 3 days a week, 5 days a week, every single person who walks into a nursing home. We should have testing frequently of everyone in the nursing home. We should get more personal protective equipment to the nursing homes. We should get all these testing and personal protective equipment to the senior centers, not just the residential facilities where seniors lived. That wasn't being done. I pushed to get more testing to the high-risk faculty of historically Black colleges and universities. That wasn't being done. There were ways that should have been, there were things that should have been done that were not done to protect the elderly. And because of that, people died.
Hey, thanks for watching.
And as once again,
as you're probably.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but I just dropped and now I'm back. At least I think I'm back. But as Dr. Scott Atlas was saying, the lockdowns are a massively colossal failure. I mean, just like we were talking about with earlier on, when listening to Michael Bolden's clip there, every time the government tries, the federal government especially, tries to do anything, or if you get some corrupt people on the state government level, every time they try to stick their nose and try to make things better, they only make it worse. But they do it under the guise that it's for your safety. And it never works out right. It absolutely never works right. Okay, we have got to stop putting these people in office. We have got to stop voting for them. Probably at this point, we should probably just stop voting altogether, because we know the elections are rigged. But we should take back the authority that was given to us by the Constitution, not given to the federal government. The federal government has a very narrow window, a very narrow lane that they can drive down in order, and that's where all their authority is, in that one little tiny spot. That's the restrictions of the Constitution. The Constitution is chains on the federal government. And we need to take that back for ourselves. We need to reassert our own authority over our own government before it gets too far out of control. All right, I'll see you guys on Friday on the Granada Forum. Have a good one, everybody. And remember, if you can't be good, be bad. Bye.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio.